are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Unity in prayer doesn't mean sameness. It means oneness of purpose. Different voices, accents, backgrounds, languages, and yet one spirit moving among them. The power of united prayer is not in perfect words, but in united hearts. We don't have to pray the same way, but we must agree on who we're praying to and what we're asking for. Heaven is not moved by eloquence. It's moved by agreement, humility, and bold faith across diversity. Beautiful, beautiful. And I'm looking forward to this conversation with Pastor Mojapelo. My pastor, good morning and welcome back to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well, Pastor. How are you today?
I'm very, very well as well. Sorry, I was just listening to your intro. And already, I'm waiting. I'm anticipating.
Yes. So excited to talk about this, because being united in prayer is something that I think we really need to understand what the meaning of that is. How can believers stay united in prayer, even when we're different in so many different ways, where we're so diverse? This is a global church, for example. We have people from all across the world, and even within countries, different tribes, languages. How do we stay united in prayer when we have so many different needs?
Yeah, that is a very good question. I like the question of needs. Maybe just to quickly, highlight the issue of needs. What is important to remember is that I do believe that our Heavenly Father, and it's funny, I'm using the term Heavenly Father for a reason.
Okay.
Abram had 12 kids. He had 12 children. Well, sons, rather. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he had 12. it's funny. I don't know what the reason is, but not really that he had 12, but his grandson, Jacob, eventually Israel, right? Mm-hmm. And you would understand that if you've got one child, you communicate with that one child differently to the other child. I've got two children, for instance.
Yeah.
They both communicate with me and we have a relationship. Mm-hmm. But the way, the means, the means through which they communicate is not the same. The one has the silent type who uses and utilizes gestures. He's more feeling.
Okay.
So you've got to be more in tune with how he's communicating emotion.
Right.
And the one speaks. She speaks like she's very vocal. She will tell you no. She will use her hand to stop you or to tell you no. She's very audible.
Yeah.
They both communicate. And the relationship that I have with both of them, I would argue, is equally the same.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Abram had sons in the same way. Israel had sons in the same way. He had children. Our Heavenly Father is our Heavenly Father for the same reason. We communicate with him individually. We have our own individual relationships with him. That's key. It's important.
Mm-hmm.
If you can stay with me.
Yeah.
Because we communicate individually, we also need to understand that we sometimes need to come together for common things.
Right.
Yeah. In a family, it won't help if we're all pulling in different directions to achieve different goals,
mm-hmm.
whatever the goal is. In a company, if we're all, pulling and vying for different, attentions, it's not useful. It's not helpful for the company for it to progress, because we're pulling in different directions. The resources will be stretched out thinly. In the church context, I almost want to say God expects a similar kind of thing, because the reality is that whilst we may be individual and we have our individual needs,
mm-hmm.
there is still a common goal, and that is that he wants to be reunited to us.
Mm-hmm.
The end game is that we be with him. So all of this is happening for this one purpose, that we will eventually come together with him. And if we can start understanding that, it kind of takes the load off, because whatever it is that we're going to be doing, We need to, you know, see the vision that he has, understand what his goals are, and we don't always understand. And that means that the individual relationship needs to mature in a way that it will start to see and feel how he feels and sees.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the departure point, right? Once that starts happening,
mm-hmm.
it becomes easier for us to align ourselves to each other,
yeah.
for his purpose.
Love that.
Because now we're starting
diversity of our needs, but we have one goal at this point, which is whatever his goal is.
Yeah, and the thing that I'm not saying, in you know, using the analogy of the father and the children,
mm-hmm.
is that they are different.
Yeah.
We are different.
Mm-hmm.
We talk different. We don't always like each other,
mm-hmm.
but we learn to like each other. We learn to live with each other, and we learn to work together. In this sinful context, that's a real thing.
Mm. Mm.
We can't take it for granted. It's a legitimate thing that actually exists, that we don't come together unless God unites us. He brings us together. Christ brings us together. He becomes the reason why we are able to. He enables our being together and united in that sense.
Yeah.
We are still individual.
Yeah.
You still have your personality. I still have my personality. But we all start to work together with a single vision, and it's not our vision. So the heavy lifting is already done for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't have to try and figure it out. We don't have to, you know, He says, this is what I need you to do. And then we go back to him and we ask him, okay, so how do you expect us to do what you have in mind?
Mm.
And then he shows us.
Mm.
And then we say, okay, we see what you want to do and achieve. Okay, we need means. We need the resources. Can you provide those? And then he provides them.
Love that.
And then we walk with him. And then we go back again, realizing whatever it is that we need along the way. And he is so on point. Even be developing our characters on the journey home.
Yeah, yeah. And what I love so much about what you're saying is when we do it that way, our focus from everything that you just said, especially in this last statement, everything that you've just said, our focus is not on one another. It's not on our differences. It's not even on our similarities. It's really on God. What
yeah.
does God want from us? Okay, God, you are the one who's going to provide what we need. Okay, God, you tell us what's next. I'm not looking at the next person and you know, figuring out how we're going to get through our differences and, oh, our personalities are just like oil and water. That doesn't matter anymore in this case, because all of us are looking at God, not at each other. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
point
that you said, you talked about how, you know, we might not even get along sometimes. We might have personality differences. Can we be united mm-hmm. in prayer even with those differences, or do we have to first come together and figure that out?
So the beautiful thing about God is that he knows this already.
Okay.
He knows this about us.
Yeah.
So he's not expecting for us to be perfect when we come together for his accomplished end goal.
Mm.
He knows this. Some are still toddlers. Mm. Some are walking. Some have just started walking. Some are running.
Mm.
Some are still developing, you know, speech. And I'm going back to the analogy of where we are as children in
yes.
our development.
Yes.
And the reality is that all of us are still going in the same direction.
Mm.
And what we need to be, I think what we sometimes struggle with is trying to manage others around us, because we really don't need to manage each other.
Mm.
Okay? We don't need to. The managing is not for us to do. There are people who have got the spiritual gift, the know-how, the ability to advise and to help. I cannot do what God does through his spirit and through his word.
Mm,
mm. I need to trust him to do in me what he needs to do with me
yeah.
and trust him to do what he is busy doing in you
yeah.
so that when we come together, there is that mutual trust. And it doesn't mean that we can't come to each other and be like, listen, I need help. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to do things necessarily the way that you would do them.
Right.
Let me put it in a different way. God is not going to speak to you the way he does to me. Because he needs to communicate to you in a way that he knows you will understand. And he does that very well. In fact, if you have friends, you also know that your friends, you don't communicate with them the same, all of them.
Sure.
You might say the same word.
Yeah.
You might have the same thing in mind, but you don't always, you know, do. It's so obvious, but we forget that.
Yeah, true. Very true.
It's like and I think when we get to, I use the word I think for a reason. I think when we allow, and again, we spoke about trust the other day. When we learn to lean into him, then even when it appears as though he's not doing what he needs to be doing with a particular person that maybe you thought should be in, you know, communion with you, it's not something that worries you, because God has this.
Yeah.
I mean, he reached out to you and he found you where you were, right? He brought people along your way and they communicated to you and they created a space for you and him to meet.
Yes, yes.
They didn't change you. They literally just came to make sure that there was a space where you and him could meet and really actually just think together and be together and actually take the time to see each other. And when that happened, you connected with him. Why don't we trust him to continue that work until we are finished? I mean, it would take so much of the stress off.
Yeah, I guess maybe it sounds too simple. Is that it? Maybe that we think, nah, it can't be that simple. There has to be more that goes into it. I have to invest myself and you must invest yourself. I don't know what it is, but I feel like on some level, there's a part of us that feels like, nah, that's too simple.
Well, yeah, look, there are a lot of things that Christianity wants to achieve in us with regards to our characters.
Yeah.
This is, I would argue, one of the key ones, that whilst we realize that we are heading in the same direction, we are not all the same. We are united, but we are different.
Absolutely.
We pray together, even though we don't always maybe agree on the how, but if we strive with God, not with each other, if we strive in prayer with him, he makes more clear to us what needs to happen and how it needs to happen. Instead of us, I want to say, fighting with each other, because, you know, communication is clearly not our strength. Why is it that we don't go back to him? He's always the beginning and the end point.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that is the antidote to, I want to say, the world's problems. Jesus Christ is the antidote to the world's problems in the sense that anything you need, want, or will ever do in life that is for your benefit comes from him and through him.
And why is diversity a strength, Pastor? Why is that something positive instead of a weakness in corporate or community prayer? What is it about our diversity that actually makes it better?
Yeah, you know, that's a very difficult question you're asking. I guess it's, I don't know, right?
Yeah.
Like, why is it necessarily a strength? I think maybe we might be of the opinion that it's a weakness, and I'm not of that persuasion that it was ever a weakness that we were diverse, but rather that we are in his image. So on the scale of God's image, we are all reflecting some or other part of him.
Okay. Love that.
You understand? So I believe that perhaps, I believe, we may have a limited view of the person who is God. And he reveals himself through the expression of the very many different personalities that we encounter in life. For us, it's limiting, of course. It's limiting because we don't think that way. We just see that, you know, he should be this one way. And I'm not sure if he's restrained or restricted to what we have as an idea of him.
Yeah, can't be.
But rather that he has given himself to us in a way that each individual who communicates with him understands him.
Mm.
And I think that must speak to us, because if we are in his image, truly, then he is a very eclectic individual, more eclectic perhaps than we sometimes give him credit for.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. And what can we learn when we look at the early believers? What can we learn from their unity in spite of their differences?
So you early believers. I don't know how far back you want to go.
Let's go to the
early church. But early believers, the early church is an interesting phenomenon. We always have this historic event that takes place. Funny enough, there's one man who begins with this journey and he starts preaching about the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And he is not speaking to a single denomination, but he is speaking to a general populace of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all coming from different walks of life, and they come together. They catch the flame and they believe what he is preaching. Yes, they may be misguided as to, you know, the interpretation, and it leads to a great disappointment. And many of them are disappointed to an extent where they leave, but there are some who come back, and the stuff of their relationship is brought to bear by this disappointment.
Yeah.
And they go back to him. And when I say him, I mean, you know, Christ. They go back to him and they pray and they start asking, like, were we wrong? Did we miss something? What is going on? You know, we knew you were coming. We believed you. And yet we are so disappointed.
Mm.
And he starts to reveal. And here's the funny thing about this. Again, he uses individuals to speak to the group.
Mm. Mm.
He doesn't send an angel. They're all praying, remember? In community, they're praying.
Yeah.
They're different people. They don't know what's going on now. They have their own different ideas as to what may have happened. And he brings an answer the way he wants to through an individual.
Mm.
And they start to find direction. And he starts to lead and guide using the different people in different ways. And so the church is now reconstructed, if I may use that.
Yeah.
They regroup, and hope comes, you know. One is given for prophecy. Some are given for interpretation again. Some are given for encouragement to establish communication across the believers in the West. I want to phrase it that way. Publications are begun to encourage those, you know, in what we would call, you know, the main center of the church.
Mm.
But God is working in each individual. They all praying.
Mm.
They are different. They are divergent. They have different, you know, expectations of what God wants for them. But he is literally in oh man.
Mm.
He's working together for their good.
Yeah.
They don't know. And growth is the outcome. Not just spiritual growth,
mm-hmm.
but more added. Wherever we are united whilst being diverse, but we are true and faithful to God, growth is expected.
Amen. Amen. That's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through once again. Such a beautiful conversation that was. And I look forward to continuing on with the lessons on unity and prayer as the week progresses. But for today, thank you so much for your time. God bless you.
Thank you. You must have a good day.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.